you, Derek. Yeah.
I'll go back now. Good morning. First of all, I want to thank you for praying for us on our Uganda short-term mission team and just such an interest in the blog and so forth. I just want to answer a question people have said. We're going to report a little bit later in the month, and Hal Hansen's still there, be there for another week, but we have some great stories to tell. But today is a transition Sunday, so thanks for being here today. Just a day of celebration. And as Pastor Rich and I were looking at this, we thought, boy, we've been talking about this quite a bit. And, you know, if you were with us about a month ago on January 4th, we kind of took a slow walk through some of the information around this whole transition that we've been going for in the last year and a half or so. And then today is really a day of celebration, a day, if you will, of ceremony and pageantry to sort of celebrate where God has brought us. And we do that because we know that transitions can be bumpy. Anybody been through a bumpy transition in your own life? Yeah, sometimes they can be rough. Sometimes they can even be painful. But as this has actually worked out in the life of Sunrise Community Church this last year and a half or so, God has been unusually gracious and kind, creative, and even comforting to us through this whole transition. So we wanted just to celebrate that together today as a church. And as Pastor Rich and I kind of thought about this service, we kind of focused in on Psalm 100 as maybe a fitting frame to kind of gear our thoughts today. So if you look at Psalm 100, it starts out by saying, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." Psalm 100 in so many ways is really a call to gratitude. And did you know that gratitude is actually good for us? There's some research actually in our world that's reporting that gratitude actually has positive health and emotional benefits. Who knew? As I was kind of thinking about this day today, I came across an article, of all places, the Wall Street Journal is pro-gratitude. Listen to this. They quoted an article saying, "Adults who frequently feel grateful have more energy and more optimism, more social connections and more happiness than those who do not feel grateful. They're less likely to be depressed or envious, greedy or alcoholic. Grateful people," in the Wall Street Journal, it says, "earn more money." Think about it as an experiment. In 2015, just decide to be more grateful. You're going to either earn more money or just feel like you did, so you can't lose. It's great. Grateful people sleep more soundly. They exercise more regularly. That's good. They have greater resistance to viral infections. They even say this works for children and teens. Studies are showing that kids who feel and act grateful, they tend to be less materialistic. They get better grades. They set higher goals. They complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches. They feel more satisfied with their friends, their families, and their schools. So researchers conclude these are the findings that our grandmothers told us about. But now scientific evidence is bearing them out. You know, there are also things that God tells us about in His Word. He calls us to be grateful people. So today is a day of gratitude. We're grateful that this pastoral transition has gone so well. We're also grateful for such quality staff members that God has brought to Sunrise Community Church in the last number of years. If you've connected to one or more of them, could we just bang our hands together to praise God for their lives? Isn't that awesome? We're grateful for all that, but at a much deeper level, we're grateful because we know that the Lord is God. It's He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. We belong to God, and that in itself is worth celebrating today. Pastor Rich, would you join me on the platform, and we're going to continue to talk through Psalm 100 this morning.
Glad to be up here with you. Actually, I made a mistake coming up first, so didn't know what to do, so I thought I'd give you a hug. So. As we continue with the old 100th, I like that, the old 100th, that's not me. That's the psalm. You know, I want to follow through with this area of gratitude and thanksgiving because God's done a lot of good things here. Notice, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We need to be a thankful people. We need to praise God. God's done and is doing great things, and he'll continue to do great things. So while we look at that as a present tense, we also not only praise God for the past, but we also look forward to praising God in the future. And then as you look at this last verse, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let's read that verse together, okay? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
You know, as I looked at that, I thought of the generations of Sunrise. Sunrise last year was 40 years old. And we've had two senior pastors in the last couple of years, almost, in fact, by May, you'll start your third year. Can you believe that, Derek?
Yeah.
Third year as our senior pastor. And generations. God led Pastor Gene Kern here in 1973. The church began in 74, and he served for about 21 years through about 1995. Then in 1996, God led our family here, and for the last 19 years, we've been here at Sunrise serving Christ. And then just a couple years ago, through a number of processes, God led Derek and Elise and their family here. So 40 years of history. As we look at Sunrise, what we've seen is that it's been used in developing six other churches, planting six other churches. We have literally dozens and dozens and dozens of people in ministry, not only here in the area on other church staff, but throughout the world serving Christ. And we thank God for that. What a tremendous privilege. I'm sure all of you know people, and many of you are supporting those that are serving Christ around the world. This all started about, in many ways, this transition here started about 4 or 5 years ago. I remember going to the elders one day, and I said, you know, we need to start thinking about changes. And in the next few years, a lot of changes will take place. We'll have new staff. And they looked at me. They said, Rich, we think you've got 5 to 10 years left in you. So I felt like a horse. You know, the guy's got good teeth and good feet, so we can get 5 to 10 more years out of this guy. No, that's not the way they made me feel, but that's kind of the way it sounded at first. And I said, that's not the issue. The issue is we can either be positively involved in helping, working with God on this transition, helping work it out, or we can just wait till it happens. And then I remember going to the pastoral staff about 4 years ago and saying, you know, I wanted to talk about my next 1 year, 2 year, and 5 year plan and to see what God's doing. I didn't have it all mapped out, but I knew God was leading me that direction. And they didn't mind me sharing that, but then I said, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to do that. And they said, we don't want to do that. I said, you're going to do that. There's one good thing about being a senior pastor. Every once in a while, you can tell somebody what to do. But the other note is, they don't always listen. And often, they don't even care. So anyway, they came in the next...
That's why I chose a good executive pastor.
But they often don't even listen, and they still don't even care. The point was this, though. As we were working through the process, God led. And then the pastor started giving their vision and their perspective, and half of them said, boy, in 2 to 5 years, I may not be on staff because of my age and stage in life. And so when they got done with that, they said, this was the hardest thing that I've done in my years of ministry here, but it's probably the best thing. Because they were thinking now on a global basis and an eternal basis, not just for right here and right now. And so together with the elders, we put together this visionary transition plan. And you'll see that in your bulletin. It's here. Part of this document was actually put together in 2012, end of 2012 and 2013. The first page and a half we actually voted on in 2013. And during that time, God led us to Derek and Elise and her family. God led us to Derek to bring him on staff as our senior pastor. And we'll talk about him a little bit later in relation to that. But when God led us to Derek, we commissioned Derek. We actually charged him, encouraged him, hey, we need to rethink our vision and mission and our focus. Because of our age and stage in life, now going on to a third generation of pastors, we need to look at our vision and mission and our focus. And also we recognize that over half our staff is going to be changing in the next few years. So we asked Derek to be instrumental in all those things, mission, vision, focus, and staff. And that's exactly what's happened. And so through a number of processes, many of you were involved in that. In fact, we had 300 to 400 people involved in working on our mission and vision. How many of you remember coming to a luncheon or being involved in meetings in that process? All kinds of hands, 300 or 400 people. And so our vision is follow Jesus Christ to become, belong, and bless. Notice those three B's. Becoming is upward, becoming like Christ, belonging to one another in the body, and then blessing others in our community and in the world. And then based on that, our mission is sending and forming people to love Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. We needed a renewed mission and renewed vision. And then our focus is on the next two generations. It's on moms and dads and all those in the ages of 25 to 45. And then it's on children from age 0 to 25. And as I looked at it in my generation, I don't need to keep reaching my generation. They need to be reached. But if we do not reach the next generation to Christ, for Christ, the next Sunrise won't exist as a church. Did you realize that? And everybody in my generation, you know what we're most concerned about? Our kids and our grandkids. And so God put all these things together and brought Derek into our midst as our senior pastor to help take us through those processes to become what God wanted us to be. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? So as you look through this process, let's take a look at that box, because this is new. On the back of that document, as of January 1st, now we put in this document, January 1st, Derek would become the senior pastor at Sunrise. We've been co-senior pastors for literally about a year and 7 months. And then it also is the mission director. I would become the executive pastor. Initially, we said, they didn't know what I would be. They said, Rich will be the teaching shepherding pastor. So the way that's evolved is Rich is a full-time executive pastor, and that's what I'm doing now, loving and shepherding our sheep. And then Carl go from executive pastor to his administrative pastor, where he works with facilities and finances and communications and recovery ministries. So that's how all this has evolved, and I'm thankful for the way God's worked. And as we look back over these last 3 to 5 years, we've just seen how one way after another, God has led us and God's brought Derek into our midst to bless our church family. Aren't you glad? Praise God for that. Amen. Love you, Derek. Glad you're here.
Praise God.
But I want to do one other thing this morning. I would like my family to come up because I want to bless them and thank them and praise God for them. So I like that my kids are here, my grandkids, they're going to be coming up. We might move this back. You know, whenever you minister is about family. A ministry is about family. It's not just about what you do alone. And when we moved here 19 years ago, there were 5 in our family. Kathy and I. Man, look at this gang. All the kids. Man, I love you guys. Come on, Gene. Come on up, guys. You know, when we moved here, we were 1 family with 5, and now we're 4 families with 17. Isn't that great? And I love my wife. I want to thank Kathy. You know, when you do ministry, you don't do it alone. And when I ministered at my best, when God was using me in a great level, great way, it's because I love my wife well and my kids well. So I love Kathy. I love Sarah and Guy. Sarah's our oldest. In case some of you don't know, I would have you raise your hands here. Sarah and Guy and Rocco, that's great, and the kids. And then John and Janelle, love you guys. And David and Hillary. In fact, our youngest one, just 2 months old, is Piper. Isn't this great? Piper Sherman. That sounds like a great name, doesn't it? I love you guys. But I just want to thank God for giving you to me and me to you. You know, you minister out of a family context. I think the reason a lot of people struggle in ministry is they're basically doing church and their family's left in the dust. But I love you guys. I respect you. I'm encouraged by you. I'm blessed by God giving you to me, and hopefully you're blessed by God giving me to you. And I can't speak well enough or highly enough of you. And whenever ministry has gone well, it's because it's been out of overflow. And I want to tell you guys how much I love you. And your grandkids, you know, 19 years ago, who had ever thought I'd have all you guys in my life? Man, I love these guys. Aren't they great? You know, as we think about this time, I want to share a couple other things here. Everybody, in fact, my family's often asked me recently, Dad, how you doing with this? In fact, my wife and I were talking yesterday and this morning, and how you doing with this? And I was going to say fine, you know, that's what we always say, fine, right? We're all doing fine. But how I'm doing is this, it's a step forward. God never leads us backwards. And I look back and I look at what God's done 40, 41 years ago, I was single. Now look what's happened in 40 years. Look how God's blessed us. And in ministry, we started off. In fact, when I first started off First Church as a pastor, I was single. We got married about 6 months later. We were engaged. The church took a real chance on us. They did. In fact, we almost didn't get voted in because they said, well, you were just a single guy. And our church was 100 years old and you were engaged. But we didn't know about having a guy who was single and hadn't been in ministry before, except for a youth pastor for about 5 years. So God is really blessed. And I'm anticipating what God's going to do in the future. God always moves us forward. The promises of God are not no, they're yes and they're amen. They're always positive. And so I'm thankful that I can stay on staff here full-time as an executive pastor. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the long term of that is. But I know this. God has blessed us greatly. And I trust that in 30, 40, 50 years, if Christ doesn't come back, that my kids will be continually, my grandkids will be serving Christ, loving Christ, living for Christ, and doing whatever God's called them to do. So I'm really a blessed man. And as I look forward to what these next days, these next years are going to be, I recognize that verse in the Psalms that we just looked at. For the Lord is good, His love endures forever, His faithfulness continues through all generations. And with that, we can move forward. So guys, I just want to give each a hug. Yeah, Heidi. Man, all the kids here. Rocco and Jude. Love you, John. Janelle.
Love you, Dad.
Stay on. Love yourself.
Hey, Rick.
Let's take about a 5-minute event here, hugging all the kids. Piper, Hill, love you guys. Dave,
yeah, this is great.
This will be you. Yeah.
We'll go down. I think it's yours.
Can we praise God for His goodness to the Sherman family?
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. I'm going to go down.
Awesome. You know, when I think about Pastor Rich, I think about Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 begins this way. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance of what we do not see. I think we have that on a slide. God has blessed Pastor Rich with a confident, enduring faith. I remember so many years ago, we lived in Mexico, and Mary Jane Andrews would actually send us cassette tapes with Pastor Rich's sermons on them. And I would get alone, and I would listen to those sermons down in Guaymas, Sonora, Mexico, just to encourage my heart. I think I'm probably not the only one in the room who's been encouraged by Pastor Rich's enduring faith. That scripture goes on. Amen. Lest you think I'm being too nice, that scripture goes on to say, this is what the ancients were commended for. I'm not calling Pastor Rich old. We talked about this. There's actually a Greek word behind that word, ancients. It could mean our ancestors in the faith. It does refer to age. It can also refer to rank. But it's the word presbuteros, and maybe you'd recognize that. It also refers to spiritual leadership. And if you were attending a church in the first century, one of those early churches, you'd probably have heard that word, presbuteros, to refer to people that God uniquely equips with His Spirit, that He uniquely raises up for spiritual leadership, that He gives spiritual care over other people in a local church, that He gifts with leadership abilities, people that are given oversight of congregations, people just like Pastor Rich. God's work from the first century to our own century is alive and well through men like him. And Pastor Rich's shepherding ministry has gone so far and so wide that we took some time this week to ask a few folks, what do you most appreciate about Pastor Rich? Take a look at the screens.
forward. An exuberance and a joy for living that I really admire.
Salmon-colored shirts.
Shepherd.
Blessing.
Question and answer.
Compassionate.
Shirts. He has a good heart.
Joyful.
He's a friend and fun.
Transparent and fantastic memory.
Very sweet.
People are more important than paper.
Thinks on his feet.
He's a walking scripture and fun.
I'm on my way to a meeting.
Great stories.
Scripturally accurate.
Don't eat yellow snow.
Witty.
Genuine.
He's authentic.
He just feels like a nice daddy.
A great speaker.
Such a shepherd.
Social.
Prayer warrior.
Loving.
Kind shepherd and a great teacher.
Pretty in pink.
Exuberant.
He's a great teacher.
Christ-centered and fun.
Non-techie.
Awesome.
He's funny.
Truly humble.
God's warrior.
The Taz.
Sharp mind.
Memorize scripture.
Gregarious.
If the barn needs painting, paint it.
Awesome goofball.
Did you catch that?
What a memory.
Don't take my word for it.
Proud grandpa.
Loving.
He takes time to know everyone.
He's always funny.
Pastor.
Water slide.
A father figure.
People person.
Warm and fuzzy.
Never a dull moment.
Character.
Love Christ.
Awesome!
Just because he lives.
Isn't that great? I know from Pastor Rich's own heart, what he cares most about is how God has used him in the lives of other people. God has certainly used Pastor Rich in my life. One of the things is just to bring me here. You know, I didn't think I would ever be coming back to Sunrise. We've talked a lot about vision lately, and our vision is to follow Jesus Christ, to become, to belong, and bless. But even before we had that language, God was using Pastor Rich and a number of leaders for a vision for this transition that we're celebrating the conclusion of today. God used Pastor Rich to really sort of trust me into your lives, the lives of people that he has been loving and leading for quite a long time. That's not an easy thing for a shepherd to do. God used Pastor Rich to give me some freedom to find my own voice in preaching, my own style in leading, giving me some freedom even when my voice and my style would differ a little bit from his. He's been a great example to me. He's been a great encouragement to me along the way. He's also covered for me, probably in more ways than I'll ever know, when I've made mistakes or been difficult to understand. And he's kind of advocated or interpreted me to other people who may have not quite understood where I was going. So I'm grateful to God for Pastor Rich. For now, 45 years, 40 years as a senior pastor, God has used Pastor Rich as a vocational pastor to love and to teach, to encourage and challenge people towards Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that his ministry at Sunrise isn't done. I'm grateful that he'll be serving full time as our executive pastor in a special way, loving and shepherding our staff. So many new in their first or second year, and we want to be sure they can thrive at Sunrise. So I'm delighted that he's going to continue to serve. Would you join me in praising God for the life and ministry of Pastor Rich Sherman?
Thank you very much. You know, it's been easy serving here because of your love for Christ and your love for me. I've appreciated that and always felt that. And when you have that kind of relationship, then it's easy to serve. But this is about something else today. It's about also installing Derek. How do you install somebody? Derek, it's the right time and you're the right person. God's called you here. I love you, and I'm thankful I can stay on staff and work together with you. I thought about the way Moses and Joshua did it. Moses died, and then Joshua took over. I'm so thankful God didn't do it that way. I'm so thankful I could be part of the process, and I thank you that you're man enough and spiritual enough, godly enough to also not only let that happen, but want it to happen. That says a lot about you. So you are the right person, and God has called you to be the senior pastor of Sunrise, and so you're my senior pastor. I love you, and I respect you. I'm looking forward to continuing to work together with you as God directs accordingly. There are a number of things, though, that I want to challenge you with, because these are things I've learned throughout life, and I didn't always do them well, but I've learned how to do them, and still learning. God has, first of all, called you to love Him. That's the most significant thing. If you love God well and love Christ and serve Him well, if you love Him well, then everything else will just flow automatically out of that. So God says, love Him well. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Love God with your heart, soul, and mind. I love Matthew 5:6. It says, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you'll be filled, and you'll be satisfied. You'll be blessed. God has also called you to love your wife well and your family. One of the reasons, as I was attracted to you guys, it was your family. You know, ministry is about family. It's about overflow. And I want to just show a picture of your family. People know you. There's Derek and there's Elise. Elise, actually, from about fourth grade on, I think, was here at Sunrise. Grew up here at Sunrise from that time on. And then your sons, Noah and Jonah and Joshua. You know, I respect you even more so because you're family. It says in Timothy about being an elder, it says that one must know how to manage his household well. We won't look at this verse yet, guys. We'll go back to the family, okay? We'll look at this in about four more minutes. Manage your family well, because if a man doesn't know how to lead his family or manage his family well, how will he care for the church of God? And as I look at your family, you know, I'm around your boys, and I just respect them. I love them. Man, they look you in the eye, and they'll shake hands with you, or they'll just talk to you and come up and start sharing. That speaks volumes about you. It really does. And about Elise, you guys are a quality family, and it's great to have a quality family. And a man who's a senior pastor has a quality family here at Sunrise. So we're blessed because of that. We're blessed because of you and your kids. Love your wife well. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know what I found out, Derek? My wife wasn't very impressed that I was a senior pastor at church. My kids were less impressed. My grandkids don't even know what's happening. So, you know what impressed them is when I love Christ well and love them well. That's impressive. That's encouraging. That's blessing them. So just like Christ, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then love your kids. And it talks about that they should learn how to obey you and obey the Lord. And that comes from love. Love produces obedience. And as you love God and obey Him, your children will see that. And they will love you and learn to obey God and obey you too. They fit in accordingly. That all comes together. And then it's love the church. You see, church, what's most important isn't what happens with our relationship here. It's what happens with our relationship with Christ and in our family. Because when that's well, and when that's positive, when that's healthy, you know what happens? There are healthy relationships in church. You make decisions in a great way. You base them on love and health, not on all these other things that are driving you. So there, as a result, you'll love the church well. You're doing good at it. It's obvious. You're doing well. Just look at your family, and I praise God for that. And then when it comes to how you minister, some challenges I have from the Word of God. It says, take heed or watch over your doctrine and your life. And by doing that, you'll not only save yourself, but those who hear you. Obviously, you're already saved. But God says, by the way you take over God's word and let God's word take over your heart, God will use that to continually bless you and encourage you and bless others who hear you. And he also says, fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Sometimes it's a struggle. The Christian life is a fight. It's a struggle. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You already have eternal life. That's the paradox. You already have it, but now you lay hold on it. You let it take hold of you. And as a result, out of that overflow of love and that overflow of eternal life in you, let it proceed out of your life into the lives and hearts of others. Fight the good fight of faith. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, be strong in the grace that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's so crucial. Be strong in grace. A lot of times we're strong in what we got to do. We're strong in legalism. We're strong in all these other things, what the church has to do and where we got to go. No, be strong in the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're strong in His grace, you're going to portray that grace to others. You're going to live it out, and it's going to come through you. It's going to flow through you. Then it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed. So spend time in the Word. One of the things I love about Derek, he'll take out 3 or 4 hours at a time. And basically, it's kind of saying, don't bother me, but sometimes I bother him. I'm an executive pastor, so I have to do that occasionally. But, you know, you're strong in not only in grace, but you're strong in the Word. You love studying God's Word. You love spending time in God's Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed. Because it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine or for instruction and teaching, and to correct and to rebuke and for instruction in all kinds of areas so that you can be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished and do every good work that God's called you to do. That's what God wants from you, Derek. And so he says, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season. Be prepared at all times to love people. In fact, I was at a restaurant just this past week with a friend. I saw Derek there at a restaurant with another friend. And while we were eating, they were there much earlier than us. While we were eating, just as he was going out, Derek comes in with a guy I'd never seen before. And I looked at the guy, and he had to be homeless. You know what Derek was doing? Here's this homeless guy that was coming by that restaurant. Derek was bringing him in to buy him a meal. That was so encouraging. Being instant, in season, out of season. Not only preaching the word, but shepherding people. We're blessed that you're our shepherd. We're blessed that you're leading us as a senior pastor. And then I think of 2 Peter chapter 5. Peter says, as an elder, I also write to you, the elders, as a fellow elder. And then in there he says about 3 or 4 things. He says, shepherd God's flock. Shepherd God's flock out of love, out of a heart. And he says, positive and negative ways. Not because you must, but because you're willing. Because your desire to do that. And then he says, don't do it for the sake of money. Don't do it out of greed or for a monetary basis. But he says, do it because you love God, because you're eager to serve them. And then he says, don't be little tin gods. I love that Phillips translation. Don't be little tin gods over God's flock, over God's heritage, over those to whom God has entrusted you. But he says, serve by example. And just this last week, a couple days ago on Thursday, I saw that example. Here's Derek putting his arm around a homeless man, bringing him into a restaurant, buying him dinner. That's a reflection of your heart and life. Praise God. We're blessed. And so in light of that, I'd like to ask our elders and pastors and personnel commission members that are here in the service to come on up. There's a verse in Timothy that I want us to look at here. This verse in 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I love the way he says that. Laying on of hands doesn't give a gift. If this were saying it the way scripturally, the gift is from God. He's the source. We didn't give it to you. But by the laying of hands, what we're saying is there's a connection. We've been talking about generations, Gene and myself and you and generations. But by the laying on of hands, what we're saying is there's a continuity in the past. We relate to history, but we also look forward to prophecy, what God's going to do in the future. God's given you special gifts, Derek, of leadership and of teaching. And He wants you to use those gifts to pastor the flock here. So he says, by the laying out of hands, there's a continuity with the past. But there's also an acceptance of recognizing who you are. We're anointing you because God's already anointed you. We're accepting you. We're blessing you because God's already blessed you. We're recognizing you're our senior pastor because God's already called you to this end. And by laying out of hands, we're identifying with you. We're saying, you're our senior pastor. We love you. We're praying for you. We want to serve Christ. We want to serve Christ together with you. And so this is what this is all about. So he says, fan into flame those gifts that God's given to you, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God says, don't be timid, move forward. But don't be brash. He says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. God's given you power. His power is within you. And He can use those gifts through you in powerful ways. But of power and of love, God says, let the love of Christ abide in you and let it dwell in you and let it flow out through you. And of a sound mind. You have a great mind. But it can be more sound than it is. It can be healthy, more healthy than it ever has been, because that word sound mind has the idea of a saved mind. God's salvation now is controlling your mind. His love is controlling your heart. His power is working through you. And as a result, your ministry will be effective for Christ's sake. So all of us are up here because we love you. We're praying for you. We want to serve to Christ together with you. We look at you as a leader among leaders. We serve you as a team of leaders, but we recognize that you're a senior pastor. And to that end, I want to say on behalf of all of our congregation, we love you, Derek. Praise God for leading you here to us. And we're going to be praying for you and serve Christ together with you. And we're glad you're our leader.
Thanks.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I'm going to have, at this time, we're going to have two of our leaders. Dan Elmhurst, the chairman of our elders, is going to be praying for you. And then also Janet Fabian, she's going to be praying for you. She represents our personnel commission. And as they pray out loud, let's all of us pray together and thank God for what he's doing here at this moment. Let's lay hands on Derek, and if you can't quite reach him, touch someone who is touching him, okay?
Heavenly Father, you gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, who came down to this earth, walked among us, was crucified for our sins, died, arose, and ascended into heaven. The idea of the gospel and Jesus Christ as the center of our church is the foundation of Sunrise. It's been a foundation of Pastor Rich and his teaching and his shepherding and his ministry. God, as he goes forward, I bless that Pastor Rich, his ministry will multiply. God, I continue to ask for blessings with his relationship with Kathy and with his family and his grandkids. God, with Pastor Derek, we ask for the same humbleness, the same teaching, shepherding, and the uniqueness that Derek is going to bring to our congregation. But that its foundation is always centered on Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I pray that in every conversation, in every teaching, in every thought, in every leadership, in all his wisdom, that Jesus Christ is always there first, throughout, and last. God, I pray for Elise and his relationship. It is not always easy, as Pastor Rich has said, and a great spouse, a great partner, gets through a lot of tough times. I pray that their relationship continues to grow and mature and get stronger. And Lord, finally, I pray for his boys as they continue through school and they begin the transition into college. I pray that they can navigate those difficult times and those tough waters as they move from boys to men. Please continue to strengthen Derek and Elise's relationship with his boys.
Lord, thank you for the heritage of Sunrise Community Church. Thank you for the caring and compassionate leadership of Pastor Rich. And now thank you for bringing Derek and Elise and the boys to Sunrise. We know this was your plan. Thank you for the ministry experiences that Derek has brought with him to us. We pray that you would just use him as he leads us here at Sunrise. Lord, we pray that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit and continue to mold him into that likeness of you. And we pray, Lord, that you would work through him as he leads us into our future to become and belong and bless. We ask your blessing upon Derek and his family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Derek, now I commend you unto God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you inheritance among those who are being made holy. May you serve Jesus Christ faithfully and love him deeply and watch God work what he's going to work at Sunrise. God bless you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
let's all just let's sing together this great song. Stand, we're gonna sing together how great our God is.
The work of God is beyond any person. It's actually the work of God, just like we say. It's through His Word, it's through His Spirit, it's through regular people. So I'm humbled to receive your prayers and your affirmation this morning and your challenges. Thank you for those. In a moment like this, my mind really goes to that fact that Jesus called His first followers disciples. And inside that word disciple is the notion of being a learner. I'm sure I'll get a lot of things wrong in the days and weeks and months and years to come. There'll be things to do that I won't do. I'll do the wrong thing at times, but I want to be a learner. I want to learn to abide in Christ. I want to learn to love you well. I want to learn to lead you well. I want to learn to be the senior pastor that God would have in your lives. That God's calling on your life as a man or a woman, as a son or a daughter, as a family, as a congregation, that we would realize God's purpose for us in time and glorify Him that way. So that's my commitment to you. It'll be bumpy at times, but I think even in our muddling through, we can glorify Jesus Christ together. That's my prayer, that He'd be glorified, that you would feel loved, and that people that aren't even in the room today would be served because of what Jesus Christ is doing in us. At a moment like this, it might be helpful to remember some of the things that are not changing. So one of the reasons we put together this bulletin is it lists people on our pastoral staff, our elder board, personal commission, mission commission, finance commission, just all kinds of people that are serving Christ at the Life of Sunrise. And you might take a look at that. It's also an invitation to you to some key events happening even in these coming months. Could we pray together as a church this morning? Jesus, we recognize that Sunrise is your idea, that you bought us with your blood. You're our head, you're our leader, you're our Lord, you're our Savior. Thank you for calling us together to be your people. Thank you, God, for the way you equipped and sustained Pastor Gene and Eleanor over so many of those foundational years, and Pastor Rich and Kathy and so many leaders supporting and collaborating with them. And thank you for this new season. Father, I pray you'd give us faith equal to our opportunities today. God, I pray you'd transform us as never before. I pray you'd connect us with one another as never before. And I pray that you would change people in our community and around our world because of who you are in us as never before. We're asking this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
It's a privilege to be your senior pastor. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.